Father God, thank you for your word and thank you for Janet, Lord. And we pray that you may use Janet as a vessel, and may our eyes be open and our hearts be soft. And we look forward to hearing what you have to say to us today. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Rachel. Hi, everyone. It's lovely to see you. And hello if you're watching online. We're looking at Ephesians, and it would really, really help if you could get your Bibles out. There are some spare Bibles in the foyer, or if you've got a phone or whatever, have a look at the Bibles. We're looking at Ephesians 1 today. What do you say when someone says to you, "What can I pray for you? What can I pray for you?" I find it quite easy to give them something quite little, like, "My toe's a bit sore today," or "Can you just pray? I've got a difficult meeting tomorrow," or something. But I almost never say to people, "Could you pray about my walk with God? Could you pray about my spiritual life?" We hardly ever ask for really deep things when we pray. And St. Paul, who wrote Ephesians, has these fantastic prayers. So if you're ever stuck as to how to pray for somebody, what can I pray, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at verses 15 to 23. Last week, Paul, our vicar Paul, not St. Paul, who wrote it, started us off on Ephesians. And he told us that it's split into two halves, the chapter. We've got verses 1 to 14, spiritual blessings, and then thanksgiving and prayer. This is a copy of my old Bible. You can see I've like highlighted things over the years. And do you remember anything about Paul's talk last week? He talked about how God has blessed us, how he has chosen us, how he has redeemed us, how he has saved us, how he has shown us so much grace and mercy. He's adopted us as his sons and daughters. I don't know what you remember, but Paul, the one thing I really remember from last week was Paul said, "God has chosen you. Have you chosen him?" That's the bit that stuck with me this last week. God has chosen us. Have we chosen him? And today it was lovely with Junia, because again, Ven and Laura have chosen God. They've chosen to follow God, and they know that God has chosen them. God has chosen Junia. And our prayer today is that she will choose God, that she will know God for herself. So let's have a look then at this passage. I'm actually going to go through it pretty much verse by verse. It's only one sentence in the Greek. You need a very deep breath to read all that in one sentence, but anyway. And it's split into these separate bits. So for the first verse, 15 and 16, we're going to look at praise and prayer. Then we're going to think about opening my eyes to that spirit of wisdom and revelation, 17, 18. We're going to think about the three truths. We pray for hope, that we'll know our calling, our hope in God, the inheritance, and God's power. And then it finishes off by saying, let's discover these truths with others in the body of Christ. So, praise and prayer. So let's just look at these verses again. "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." Wow. What sort of godfather do you think St. Paul would have made? He's never stopped giving thanks for the Ephesians. He remembers them in his prayers. And there's something here about persistence in prayer. I've always loved the persistent widow, the parable in Luke chapter 18, about persisting and keeping on and on in prayer. So as I look at those verses, Paul is giving thanks for the Ephesians, and he's remembering them in his prayers. And there's this balance between thanks, prayers, thanks and praise for something, and praying for something. There was a famous church leader called John Stott, and when he was writing about this verse, he said, "We need that balance between praise and prayer. We need to praise God and thank God for things, but we also need to pray for things. And he said, if you get it out of balance, you spend so much time praising God, you can end up with almost quite a shallow life. You don't actually necessarily go deeper or get to know God more. Or if you spend all your time praying, you almost forget what God has given you already. You're oblivious to the gifts, the things he's already given you. We need thanks and we need prayers. I don't know what your small group is like, but I'll tell you about our staff prayers. So you'll be pleased to hear the staff here do pray together Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday morning at 9:15. And when I'm leading, and different people lead on different times, I always say, let's start by praising or thanking God. And I find I want to jump straight in. Oh, please, can you pray for me? I've got this really difficult talk to prepare for Sunday or something like that. And it's so easy to jump straight in with pray for this, pray for that, pray for the other. But we try and start our staff prayers by thanking God and praising God first. And then we move on and pray about the different things that we're going to be doing during the day. I don't know what your small group is like, whether you spend the same time in praising and thanking God as you do in praying for each other. Myself, one of my many failings, when I sit down and I've read my Bible, I often want to go straight into praying for something, whatever's top of my mind. And I sometimes forget that bit about giving thanks, praising God first. Have we got that balance in our lives between praise and prayer? Thanking God, praying for things. St. Paul had that balance there. Next thing we're going to think about is moving on to verses 17-18. Paul is praying for that spirit of wisdom and revelation to open the eyes of our hearts. So let's read it. I keep asking. Do you notice that? Keep asking, this continual bit. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Paul dives straight in. There's none of this, oh, could you pray about my sore toe business. He goes straight into, I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We need both. We need wisdom. We need to know more about God. We need that knowledge of God. But we also need revelation. We need our hearts to be opened and touched. I know there are quite a lot of vicars and soon-to-be vicars here. So I was brought up, and my dad was a vicar, and I was forced to go to church, as a lot of vicars' children here were. And I must have heard the gospel week after week after week. I heard people talking about Jesus. Jesus died on a cross. Jesus died to save me. And I never quite got it. I never quite understood the significance or why. When I was 15, I went on a Christian house party, and one evening, the person speaking explained Jesus died on the cross to save your sins, and suddenly I understood. Now, why had I not understood the previous 15 years? Suddenly, the spirit of revelation helped me understand something I'd heard, but it just didn't make sense. That's what revelation is. It's when you just suddenly understand something. That's what we're praying for. Lord, give us that spirit of knowledge. We want to know you better, Lord. But also give us that spirit of revelation. Reveal to us. Make clear to us. Why? So that we will know him better. Not that we know him better so we get top marks for our GCSE-RE or for our theology degree at Trinity or for whatever it is, but so that we can know him better. Talks about the eyes of our hearts being enlightened. There's a lot in the Bible about eyes, about people being blind and then seeing. And we all have spiritual eyes, not just our own eyes, but eyes inside. And suddenly, if they're opened, you see things, you understand for the first time. And Paul is praying that inside, those spiritual eyes in our hearts may be enlightened. Light comes in, and suddenly, I get it, I understand. So later on, when I finish, when we're responding, we're going to be praying this, Lord, we want to know you better. We want you to open the eyes of our hearts that suddenly we'll get it. We'll see your spirit of wisdom and revelation. Have you noticed we've got all the Trinity in that verse, in verse 17? We've got God, we've got the glorious Father, we've got Lord Jesus Christ, and we've got the Holy Spirit. When I was preparing this, I got to that phrase, so that you may know him better, and I remembered something. Is there anybody besides me that remembers this prayer? It's a prayer by St. Richard, who is Bishop of Chichester, and it's got that lovely bit, may we love, know you more clearly, love you more dearly, follow you more nearly. Can you wave a hand? Did anyone have to say this at school all those years ago? Anyone remember it? A few of us. Yeah, brilliant. It's a lovely prayer. The prayer was used as the basis for the song Day by Day. If any of you remember Godspell, looking around to see a few people, a few nods there. Yep, remember that. This is the original prayer. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, and follow thee more nearly. Amen. Lovely prayer. And that's what we're going to pray later. That's what we want. We want to know God more clearly. We want to love him more dearly, more nearly. So we've thought about the importance of praise and spirit of wisdom and revelation, enlightening our hearts. And now St. Paul goes on and prays three particular truths. And these are the truths that he says. He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know, number one, the hope to which he has called you. Number two, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And number three, his incomparably great power for us who believe. Hope, inheritance, and power. He's praying that we'll know the hope to which God has called us. God has chosen you. Have you chosen God? We have that hope for the future when we belong to Jesus, that hope of new life. We can look beyond our present suffering to that future hope. I have a younger brother who's suffering from terminal cancer at the moment, and I went to see him on Friday, but he has a strong calm and peace about him because he's got a future hope. He knows to what he has been called, and he will probably see God sooner than I will there. May you know the hope to which God has called you. And then secondly, St. Paul talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And Paul talked a bit about that last week. He talked about us being heirs. Do you remember, Paul, you talked about us being adopted into God's family and then becoming God's children. And when you're a child, you inherit from your parents. We've been adopted into God's family. We will inherit. It talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance, those imperishable riches waiting for us. Perfect fellowship with God and with his holy people. As sons and daughters of the King, we will inherit. So we pray for hope, for inheritance, and finally, for power. We have got power in Christ. We can tap into God's immeasurable power for us. God's power is so great. We saw God's power in the resurrection and then in the ascension. You may know that on Thursday week, May the 9th, it's the Feast of the Ascension, when we remember how God didn't just leave a risen Jesus here on earth. He exalted him, he ascended right up. He exalted him to the right hand of God. Paul's prayer is that we will know the hope, the inheritance, and that power. That power, he goes on to say, is the same as the mighty strength. It's the same power exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. I find that mind-boggling, that the greatest power ever seen in this world is available to us when God raised Christ from dead and exalted him. He ascended into heaven. One of the reasons St. Paul talks about power is he was writing to Ephesians, and Ephesus was a city of great power, a city where there was a lot of civic power, social power, imperial influence. There were a lot of different cults and beliefs. They had the temple of Diana or Artemis there. And people wanted power. There was a lot of magic about an occult. And people would pay money to invoke a spell to make them healthy or wealthy or to be able to defeat an enemy. That was the situation Paul was writing into. And what he's saying is this power is available for us. Not to do a conjuring trick or a bit of magic, but to defeat sin and death, to proclaim Jesus is Lord, Holy Spirit. That power working in us, making us more like Christ, bringing us to holiness. We can't defeat evil and death on our own. They're the big things in the world. But Jesus defeated death when he died and was raised to life. He defeated evil. That sacrifice was accepted. He was exalted. And he's so high up, he's above every single human power and dominion. So Paul is praying for those three truths, for hope, for inheritance, and for God's power or authority to be ours. So now we look at the last bit. We discover these truths within the body of Christ. Verse 22, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Christ is the head of the church. We are his body. We're his representatives here on earth. And we discover these truths together with others. We will discover the fullness of Christ. And I use that image when we were looking at the church tomorrow, that image of the church is not the building, it's the people. It's the people here. And so we pray for our church and community together that we learn more about Jesus. We share in that hope. We trust in his power. We work together to make the fullness of God known. So back to the start, I asked you, what do you pray for when somebody says, how can I pray for you? How do you pray for a God child? We need praise and we need prayer. We need to think, how can I praise God more? If we're in a small community, can I encourage you to spend some time in prayer, praise as well as prayer? It doesn't mean you have to sing out loud. It could mean you listen to something on Spotify. It could mean you look at a picture and you're just thinking and meditating on God's goodness. It could be you're reading a psalm together. Praise and prayer as well. What are we praying for each other? We're praying that God will open our spiritual eyes. We're praying for that spirit of wisdom and of revelation, that we'll know God better, not just know God in our heads, but know God in our hearts more. We're praying for each other that we will know those truths, our calling. God chose us. There's hope, hope for the future. That truth that there is an imperishable inheritance waiting for us. And also God's incomparably great power. And how do we discover those truths? With others within the body of Christ. So as I finish now, if I can ask for the band to come back up, that would be great. We're going to pray, and we're going to pray that we will know God better. I'm going to read out the words of that prayer again. Lord, we want to know you more clearly. We want to love you more dearly. Lord, we want to follow you more nearly. And then I'm going to ask, do you want to know God better? Do you want that spirit of wisdom and revelation? If so, I'm going to suggest that we come forward. There's a lot of space over on the right-hand side there. And there'll be some people there who are more than happy to pray with you. Do we want to know God better? How can we pray for each other? So let's be quiet now. I will pray that prayer of Richard of Chichester again. And then I think we'll move into our next song. Would you like to stand, please? Let's say this together. Thanks be to you, our Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits which you have given, for all the pains and insults which you have borne for us. Most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may we know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen.